Thanks for tuning in to Sermoncast, the preaching ministry of Christ Church of Amherst. You can learn more about Christ Church by visiting our website at ccnh.org.
For those of you who came expecting to see Dale up here this morning, I hope you won't be disappointed. Dale, as Dick said, is in the UK, spreading the word over there. This was a prior commitment that we knew was on the schedule. So he will be back next week, we assume, and continue his sermon, his series on the Lord's Prayer. So let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, as we consider what Scripture tells us, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit among us, that you would guide our thoughts, that we would hear the words, your words, that we would understand them in a way that is pleasing to you. Thank you, Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen. We probably all heard many sermons about forgiveness. I know I have. Very likely we understand the importance of forgiveness. But failure to forgive has dire consequences. I expect Dale will probably talk about that when he gets to that part of the Lord's Prayer. There's not really very much good that can be said about unforgiveness. It's bad for the church. It's bad for our society. And it's bad for us. It's bad for our health. Unforgiveness is just a terrible thing. But when somebody does something that we feel is, when they've done us wrong, so to speak, what's our first reaction usually? Is it forgiveness? I wish I could say it was for me, but it's not. Usually my first reaction is revenge. How do I get even? I want my pound of flesh. But then most of those annoyances are minor, thankfully. And once the flash of anger is over, then rationality returns, and we move on. I'm thinking of things like the guy who passes you when you're driving on a two-lane road, and he zips by, and he nearly cuts your front bumper off because he's ducking in to get away from the oncoming car. Your first thought is usually not something kind. Usually results in a blast on the horn, perhaps some ill wishes for his safety, maybe a not-so-friendly hand gesture. But that's our humanness comes out. But what about the major offenses? Things you can't dismiss or ignore. Things that just eat at you day after day, month after month, maybe year after year. Every time they come up, you just clench your fists in anger. I remember one instance when we were still living in California. I had a guy working for me as a designer. Not sure. I think his name was Jerry, but I'm not certain. But that'll do anyway. Jerry was a motorcycle guy through and through. He was, if you looked at him, he was a caricature of everything you think about a motorcycle guy. He looked the part. And he was a pretty rough and tumble guy, but he was actually a very good designer, and I was glad to have him assigned to my projects. He did well. One day he came to me, and he was so angry and fired up, he could barely talk. First thing he wanted to know is if I knew where he could get some dynamite. Not a good way to open a conversation. It turned out that he'd had some kind of a problem with his bike, and he took it to a shop to be repaired. And in essence, they made it worse rather than better. And his plan was to get some dynamite and blow up the shop. Now, this was not an idle threat. He meant it. He was dead serious. If he could have gotten his hands on some dynamite, there would have been an explosion. That's just the way he was. And he didn't see anything wrong with it. That was just fair and just in his mind. I think he finally got the problem resolved with the help of a friend, but there was never any forgiveness. He burned and boiled about that for as long as I knew him. As some of you may know, I had a business relationship go sour a number of years ago. The man who principally funded the business forgot to tell us that his wife would be part of the business. We had never thought to ask because there was no reason to ask. It never occurred to any of us. And what should have been the proverbial goose that laid golden eggs ended up in failure. Cost us our part of the investment. The problem was that she had a way of alienating everybody. Our customers, our suppliers, the employees, and the result was the end of the business. I suppose I could have carried a grudge. I probably could have brought suit against them in court. That would probably have hurt me a lot more than them. And as I wrote this, I thought back to my friend Jerry. He probably would have suggested I go and torch their house. I want to share two stories with you this morning. One from Scripture, and one is a news item from 2006. So if you have your copy of the Scriptures with you this morning, turn to Genesis chapter 34. It's a terrible story about bitterness and hatred and revenge. It's the story of Dinah and the Shechemites. It takes place as the Israelites are living among the Gentile Canaanites in the Promised Land. So beginning in Genesis chapter 34, verse 1. Now Dinah, the daughter Leah had borne to Jacob, went out to visit the women of the land. When Shechem, son of Hamor the Hivite, the ruler of the area, saw her, he took her and violated her. His heart was drawn to Dinah, daughter of Jacob, and he loved the girl and spoke tenderly to her. And Shechem said to his father Hamor, "Get me that girl for my wife." When Jacob heard that his daughter Dinah had been defiled, his sons were in the fields with the livestock, so he kept quiet about it until they came home. Then Shechem's father Hamor went out to talk with Jacob. Now Jacob's sons had come in from the fields. As soon as they heard what had happened, they were filled with grief and fury because Shechem had done a disgraceful thing in Israel by lying with Jacob's daughter, a thing that should not have been done. But Hamor said to them, "My son Shechem has his heart set on your daughter. Please give her to him as his wife. Intermarry with us. Give us your daughters and take our daughters for yourselves. You can settle among us. The land is open to you. Live in it and trade in it and acquire property in it." So, of course, when Jacob heard about the defilement of his daughter, the story tells us he took no action because his sons, that is Dinah's brothers, were out in the field tending the livestock. Perhaps it was wise on his part. Maybe he couldn't have done anything without them anyway. Commentators are not in agreement about what Jacob should have done here. When Dinah's brothers heard what had happened to their sister, they were outraged. When Dinah's brothers heard what had happened to their sister, they were outraged. In the meantime, Shechem told his father, Hamor, that he was in love with Dinah and wants. In the meantime, Shechem told his father, Hamor, that he was in love with Dinah and wants her as his wife. It seemed like kind of a strange way to show his love. So Hamor and Shechem went to Jacob and his sons. They wanted to make the necessary arrangements for the marriage. And this led Dinah's brothers to a devious plan. They point out that his sister can't marry Shechem because he is not circumcised. But if the men of the city will agree to be circumcised, then they will be like the Israelites, and then this and other marriages can take place. Hamor and Shechem seemingly would agree to anything at this point. And the stage is set for a horrible, bloody massacre as Dinah's brothers, led by Simeon and Levi, implement their plan. So if we return to our story then, picking it up at verse 24. All the men who went out of the city gate agreed with Hamor and his son Shechem, and every male in the city was circumcised. 3 days later, while all of them were still in pain, two of Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, took their swords and attacked the unsuspecting city, killing every male. They put Hamor and his son Shechem to the sword, and they took Dinah from Shechem's house and left. The other sons of Jacob came upon the dead bodies and looted the city where their sister had been defiled. They seized their flocks and herds and donkeys and everything else of theirs in the city and in the fields. They carried off all their wealth and all their women and children, taking as plunder everything in the houses. So this story is all about revenge. There's no hint of compassion or forgiveness. The brothers' outrage is certainly understandable. But it seems like there could have been a better way. I don't mean to soft pedal what happened to Dinah, but surely this was not pleasing in God's eyes. And in fact, if you look carefully, God is not mentioned anywhere in this entire story. So what does this have to do with us? That was 3,000 or 4,000 years ago. It's a different land, a different culture, entirely separate from us. Some have said that it was a matter of avenging the family's honor, that it was a fairly common and accepted thing to do. Maybe so in that time. But I think we can learn from this gruesome story. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been preserved in Scripture. It's there for a reason. As we see here, our unforgiveness can have horrible consequences. The action of Dinah's brother led to the death and destruction of an entire city. We are called to be people who forgive wrongs done to us. From our perspective, I would say that some form of punishment certainly was appropriate for Shechem. But then there is room for forgiveness for his family and even for Shechem himself. As people of the New Covenant, Paul tells us in his letter to the Colossians in chapter 3, he says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Let's move on to another story that also is a very sad story, but it has an entirely different ending. I want to read to you part of a news article from just a few years ago, 2006 to be exact. Many of you, I imagine, will remember the event. It's a story about grace and forgiveness. Maybe I should have a water bottle like Dale carries. Following the tragic shooting of ten young schoolgirls in a one-room Amish school in October 2006, reporters from throughout the world invaded Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, to cover the story. However, in the hours and days following the shooting, a very different and unexpected story developed. In the midst of their grief over this shocking loss, the Amish community didn't cast blame. They didn't point fingers. They didn't hold a press conference with attorneys at their sides. Instead, they reached out with grace and compassion toward the killer's family. The afternoon of the shooting, an Amish grandfather of one of the girls who was killed expressed forgiveness towards the killer, one Charles Roberts. That same day, Amish neighbors visited the Roberts family to comfort them in their sorrow and pain. I need to add here that Charles Roberts took his own life at the time of the shooting. Later that week, the Roberts family was invited to the funeral of one of the Amish girls who had been killed. And the Amish mourners outnumbered the non-Amish at the funeral of Charles Roberts himself. It's ironic that the killer was tormented for 9 years by the premature death of his young daughter. He never forgave God for her death. Yet after he cold-bloodedly shot 10 innocent Amish schoolgirls, the Amish almost immediately forgave him and showed compassion towards his family. In a world at war and a society that often points fingers and blames others, this reaction was unheard of. Many reporters and interested followers of the story asked, how could they forgive such a terrible, unprovoked act of violence against innocent lives? The Amish culture closely follows the teachings of Jesus, who taught his followers to forgive one another, to place the needs of others before themselves, and to rest in the knowledge that God is still in control and can bring good out of any situation. Love and compassion toward others is to be life's theme. Vengeance and revenge is left to God. What a different outcome from the first story. Both are terrible stories, and yet how the people responded makes such a difference. Let me repeat Paul's words. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Hopefully, most of us won't have to deal with such terrible situations in our lives. But just as certain, we will have to deal with disappointments and shortcomings of others. How will we respond? Of course, we all know what is right. But knowing right doesn't always cause us to act rightly, does it? Which is the better course of action for us as followers of Christ? A bloodbath is carried out by Dinah's brothers, or forgiveness, grace, and compassion, as described in the news article about the Amish community? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to better understand your teaching. Help us to make it a part of our lives. Help us to take to heart the stories we read in your word. Help us to walk more closely with you. We thank you, Jesus, and we pray in your name. Amen.
again for tuning in to Sermoncast. We hope you enjoyed this week's message. For more podcasts, you can visit ccnh.org and subscribe to our channel through the Sermoncast link. We'd also invite you to connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/Christ Church of Amherst. Until next time, God bless.